There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father,
"Father, give me my share of the estate."
So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said,
"How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'"
So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him,
"Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son."
But the father said to his servants,
"Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found."
So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on.
"Your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound."
The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father,
"Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, come home, you kill the fattened calf for him."
"My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found."
Thank you so much, Jemmit. Friends, do keep your Bibles open at Luke chapter 15. And as Ben said, we're going to sort of look at the second half of this very well-known story, focus on the older brother, the second of the two sons. And don't you think it's hard not to feel a little sorry for the older brother, because his younger brother is a complete tearaway. And we saw last week how he got fed up with life on the farm. So what did he do? He ran away from home and he squandered his father's wealth in wild living. But this older brother, well, he stayed at home. He stayed to do what good sons do, to help his family, to work on the farm. And then one day, do you see what happens? Verse 25, "Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing." He comes home after another long day in the field, and he hears music and he hears dancing, and he asks one of the servants, what's going on? And the servant says, "Haven't you heard? Your younger brother's come home, and your father's so thrilled to have him back. He's having a party to celebrate. The whole village is invited." And you see how the older brother reacts? Did you see that? Beginning of verse 28, the elder brother became angry and refused to go in. He's angry. I think there's a bit of us that understands his anger, All these years working in the fields, Dad never threw me a party. Now my younger brother turns up and instead of disowning him, Father kills the fattened calf for him. We understand his anger. But Jesus wants to know that his anger is very revealing. His anger shows that he is lost. Jesus has been telling stories about lost sheep and lost coin and a lost son. And the climax to it all is this episode about this good son, who stayed at home and worked in the fields. But the point is, this good son is as lost as all the rest of them. How do we know? Because lost is when you are not where you should be. Where should the older brother be right now? He should be at the party. He should be celebrating with his father, but he's not. He's outside. And why is he outside? Because he's angry. Because he doesn't get why his father is celebrating. In other words, his heart, the older brother's heart, is not tuned in to his father's heart. He stayed on the farm, but the truth is he's not close to his father at all. Doesn't really know him. And remember how Jesus is telling this story to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And like this older brother, they were angry. Do you remember back in chapter 15, verse 2? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man," as in this Jesus, "he welcomes sinners and eats with them." See, these religious people, they just don't understand why Jesus is welcoming sinners and he is partying with them. See, they are like the older brother. They just don't get why. Why would God celebrate with people like this? See, their hearts are not tuned in to God's heart. They're very religious, but they don't know God. And you see, that the danger is we look at tax collectors and sinners and younger brothers and addicts and abusers and people who've broken up homes, and we think they are the sort of people who are lost. They are the sort of people who are a long way from God. Yes, but Jesus is saying something that challenges everything we have ever been told about religion and about God. Jesus is saying you could be the sort of person who visits your mother when she's sick. You could do shopping for neighbors who are shielding. You could help with the food bank. You could care for the homeless. You could sing in the choir. You could go to Friday prayers. You could give money to charity. You could go on a pilgrimage. You could be really religious and really good and still be really lost. Still be a very long way from God. Because you don't get him. And so the question is, what is it that the Pharisees and older brothers and respectable people don't get about God that Jesus wants us to see? Well, here it is. They think God is a boss who owes us. They think God is a boss who owes us. Jesus has been going around saying that the kingdom of God is like a party. And he's been calling everyone to come in to this party. He's saying, whoever you are, whatever your story, come in to God's party. And some people come in. Some people refuse to come in. What that means, though, is that there are murderers and there are addicts and there are abusers who are at the party. And there are good, respectable people like Pharisees and older brothers and maybe like you who will be left standing outside the party. And I wonder what you make of that. Does that offend your sense of justice? We regularly run a little course called Christianity Explored for people who want to explore Christianity. And when people first bump into what Jesus is saying here, when they hear that there will be murderers in heaven and good people shut out, it makes people really angry. And that anger is very revealing. It shows what they think about God and what the deal is with God. And it shows that they think the deal is, if you are good, then you will be rewarded. If that's the deal, how come there will be criminals in heaven? See, people like that do not seem to deserve it. The sort of people who deserve to be in heaven, in the party, are good people like us. And that's the older brother. Do you hear what he says? Verse 29. His father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, "Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." You see, after all the work I have done for you, if there is anyone who deserves a party round here, it's me. But you never even gave me a young goat. Did you catch the language he uses? All these years I have been slaving for you. It's very revealing, isn't it? Because from a distance, he looks like the model son, the guy who stayed. But he wasn't working on the farm because he loved his father. He was working to get a reward. He said, "Well, how can you tell?" Well, because when he doesn't get what he thinks he deserves, he's furious. So you throw a party for him, there's nothing for me, not even a goat. Doesn't all my slaving count for anything? Friend, you recognize that sort of anger in your heart? You spend your days trying to be good, trying to help others. You give to charity. You've even started going to church. But you don't really enjoy it. You're slaving away to get your reward. And what's the clue that that's what's going on? Well, when you don't get the reward you think you deserve, what do? You get angry. And I meet so many people who say, "All my life I've done my best. I've given to charity. I've been good. And now this happens." Get ill. They lose their job. Life turns sour in some way, and they are angry at God because they think they deserve better. They have been decent people, good people. But here is the thing. This older brother, he is nothing like as good as he thinks he is. Do you see verse 30? How he tries to distance himself from his brother, how he looks down on his brother. So judgmental. "But when this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." This son of yours, he's putting distance between them. He's not my brother. He's your son. I am nothing like him. But the truth is, he's very like him. Down the years, he's been very respectable on the outside, but now the truth of what he's like on the inside comes tumbling out. See, what was it with the younger brother? He didn't want his father. He just wanted his father's money. Isn't that the older brother too? He just wants the reward. It's what he's slaving for. Or the older brother says, "I have never, all these years, I've never disobeyed your orders." What is he doing right now? Right now, the father has asked him to come inside. What is he doing? Disobeying his father's orders. The younger son, he's brought shame on the family name, squandered the family fortune with prostitutes. What do you think the older son is doing right now? A whole village is there. And the older son, where is he? He's outside in a grump. And in front of the whole village, the father has to go out and plead with him to come in. See? Yeah, the older brother is angry. The older brother thinks, my younger brother, he doesn't deserve a party. But the truth is, the way the older brother treats his father, he doesn't deserve a party either. So friends, do you see, it's not just younger sons who've turned their backs on God, it's older sons as well. And they might look very respectable, but they don't love God. If the older brother had loved his father, he would have shared his father's joy. He would have joined the party. But instead, it just makes him angry. And maybe that's you. Very respectable. You do good, but you don't love God. If you loved him, you'd want to join the party, wouldn't you? You want to be in the kingdom. But the more you hear about this kingdom, about who will be in and who will be out, the angrier you get. Your sense of justice is offended. Maybe you've been a Christian many years, and what's happened is you've become angry. You've become like the older brother. You're serving God, but there's no joy in serving him. You're just doing it for the reward. And the clue that that's what's going on is when you don't get what you think you deserve, what happens? You get angry. See, I've given money away sacrificially for years, so how come I'm the one who gets their hours cut at work? But you're serving people in all kinds of ways, and you go, well, how come I didn't get asked to lead? How come she gets married and I don't? How come they have children and we don't? It all seems so unfair. But it's only unfair if we think God is a boss who owes us. Our anger is what keeps us from him. And the answer to our anger is to see the truth of what he's really like. He's not a boss who owes us. Jesus wants us to know that he is a father who loves us with a love we don't deserve. He's a father who loves us with a love we don't deserve. The older brother is lost. So just as the shepherd went looking for his sheep and the woman searched high and low for her coin and the father ran out to meet his younger son, the father now goes out to the older son. Do you see verse 28? So his father went out and pleaded with him. And just as the father was prepared to make a fool of himself for the sake of the younger son, he's now prepared to make a fool of himself in public for the sake of the older son. He's pleading with his son. No father pleaded with a son. But you see, he loves him. And he wants him to join the party. You see, you get a glimpse of what God is like. He's not a boss. He's a father who loves you. And it pains him that you are outside. And he doesn't want you outside. He wants you to come in and share his joy. Look at what he says in verse 31. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. My son. See, the father wants this young man to know that he's not invited in as a servant, slaving away, but a son. That's the relationship. That's the relationship God calls us into. Not boss-servant, but father-child. And you see what sort of a father he is. He's a father who wants us to be with him. Do you see? My son, the father said, you are always with me. Did you see how wrong the older brother is about his father? But when the older brother thinks of the last few years, all he can think of is the jobs he's done. And when the father thinks of the last few years, what matters to him was that his son was with him. And religious people, they make out that all that matters to God is you just keep the rules. You do good. It's what you do. No, what matters to him most of all is that you are with him. God doesn't just want your good deeds. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you to be with him and to know him and to love him and to enjoy being loved by him, his child. Do you know that? Maybe you knew that, but over the years you've forgotten that, and Christian life has become all about working on the farm. It's all about jobs you've been doing for God, and you've clean forgotten the privilege and the joy of just being with him. So there's days when you've thought, what am I doing obeying him here on the farm? I could be living it up in the distant country like my younger brother. But you see, if you were living it up in a distant country, you would be far from your father. And isn't that what the younger brother discovered? Life away from him, life away from his father, is nothing like as good as life back with him. That's why he came home. Or maybe there are days when you feel you're just slaving for him. It's just a slog. Think of it like this. Time spent on jobs on the farm. Time spent, I don't know, helping with junior church, or on the phone with someone who's lonely, or time spent preparing for small group, or time spent helping with the food bank. It's time spent with him. It's not time spent slaving. It's time spent enjoying our privilege as his children to work with him on his farm. And the danger is we miss that sense of what a privilege it is, and we obey him, but it's through gritted teeth. We don't really want to obey, but we put up with it. We do it because we think it'll be worth it, because then the boss will owe me. See, then God might reward me. But do you see? If the Christian life is all about being in relationship with him, then obeying him is its own reward. You see, I don't obey to get a reward. Obeying him is its own reward, because as I obey him, I get to know him better. My joy is not in the wages I will get paid at the end of all this, the reward I will get, whether people notice me or not, approve of me or not. My joy is simply in obeying him, because I love him and I want to know him better. You see, he's not a boss, but a father. He wants us to be with him. And more than that, he's a father who gives us everything he has. Did you see what he goes on to say? You are always with me, and everything I have is yours. You see how wrong the older brother is about his father? He's thinking his dad is a mean boss. He hasn't even given me my wages. And dad says, no, I've not given you your wages, because I want to give you way more than wages. I want to give you everything I have is yours. Do you know that this is what the God of the Bible is like? He's generous. So you want him to give you what you think you deserve, and he wants to give you way more than you deserve. He wants to give you everything he has. For God so loved the world that he gave his most precious treasure, gave his beloved son. And in his love, son was prepared to leave his father's side and go into the far country and step into our world and seek us out when we were lost, and in his love on the cross, he was prepared to suffer alienation from his Father so we could come home, so we could enjoy all the privileges and the joys of being his children. He's given you everything. He's given you his Spirit to reassure you that you are his child. He's given you his promise that he will never forsake you. He's given you his love in your heart to comfort you. He's given you brothers and sisters, a family to be part of. He's given you the hope of life with him that starts now and lasts forever. And it's a life that looks forward to day when he wipes all our tears dry and makes a whole new world for his children to enjoy with him forever. Older brother, do you see what your Father in heaven is like? And you're thinking he's mean, and you're thinking, I've got to be good to persuade him to give me wages, the wages I am owed. No. He is the God who wants to give you everything. And maybe you knew this. You knew it, but you've forgotten it. And right now you're angry at him because you think he's not thrown you the party you deserved. He's not given you the job or the health or the husband or the family you long for. And you think, well, that just shows. It shows how mean he is after all I have done for him. How come they get it? I don't. It's so unfair. Do you see? We think he's a boss who owes us. So when life turns sour and we don't get some of the things we want, we go, well, what did I do wrong? How come he's not paying me my wages? Why is he punishing me? Friends, we don't always know why things have happened. But if you get a true picture of what God is like, it does help to melt our anger. He's not a boss who's being mean to you. He is a Father who loves you. He's extravagantly generous. He doesn't just give you wages. He gives everything he has to you. Like all fathers who love their children, he doesn't necessarily give us all that we want when we want it. He gives us what we need. We don't always understand why he's giving us what he's giving us. We don't always know why, but we do know that whatever the explanation is, it's not because he's mean. See the sort of father he is. He's generous, gives us everything. At least you can trust that he knows what he's doing. If ever I really doubt his generosity, look at verse 32. See his heart. He says, but we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. We had to celebrate. You see, if the father was a boss who paid his son's wages, the wages they were owed, there would be no celebrations. Because after what he's done, the younger son, he doesn't deserve a party. And the truth is, neither does the older son. You see, good, respectable people say, so unfair. God welcomes bad people into heaven. I want justice. I want to be given what I deserve. Really? The Bible says, after how you've treated God, the wages you deserve is death. The wages you deserve is to be cut off from God forever. So friends, aren't you glad he is not a boss who gives us what we deserve? Do you see what he is? He is a father who wants his children home. That's what the party says, doesn't it? It says nothing thrills him more than to have his children home. And that's why our Father in heaven sent his son into the world to seek us out, because we were dead. We were cut off from God. But he raised us from death to life, life with God. We were lost. We were a long way from God. And he came looking for us and he found us and he brought us home. You see, and this party, the kingdom of God, it's not wages we deserve. It's a gift. It's a gift we never deserve. And younger brothers, they get the wonder of that gift. They go, wow. Older brothers are offended that it's a gift. Because everything in older brothers wants to be deserving of wages. And the idea that we somehow don't deserve it feels like a blow to our pride. It feels like a way of God saying he doesn't really love us. We don't deserve it. No, it's just the opposite. It's a way of saying just how much he loves us. See, he doesn't love us because we've earned it. His love doesn't come and go depending on how we do. When we are good, he wants us as his children. When we are bad and don't deserve it, he still wants us as his children. Do you see? Because that's how precious we are to him. Do you see how wonderful it is to be loved with a love like that? You don't deserve it, but I love you. Friends, how does the story end? Does the older brother come in? What do you reckon? What would you do? Maybe you were once a younger brother, but over the years you've kind of become an older brother and you've become angry at God and you've lost the joy of your salvation. Because you've slipped into thinking of God as a boss rather than a father. And you slipped into thinking he owes you a party. Do you see? It's not about what he owes you. It's all about what he has given you. You're not back on the farm because you deserved it. You're back on the farm because he welcomed you home with a love that was a gift that you never deserved. Rejoice in what our Father is like. Rejoice in how good it is just to be with him. Well, maybe you have always been an older brother. You're an older brother today. And you think you don't need this. You don't need to be found by Jesus because you're not lost. Do you see how you are as lost as any younger brother? And Jesus has been calling the lost to repent. And repent means turn from sin. And younger brothers need to turn from the sin of wild living. But you see, older brothers need to turn from the sin of thinking they are respectable. Turn from thinking you are okay. Because for as long as you think that, you are not okay. You're lost. Turn back to your Father. Turn to him with empty hands and receive his love as a gift you don't deserve, and come in, join his party. Let's pray. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Our Father, we pray that wherever we are, wherever we stand with you this afternoon, you would give us such a sight of who you are and what you're like that we would join in with the celebrations. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks everyone for your questions. We just have a couple of questions to ask Mike. So Mike, the first one is, following Jesus is hard. There are lots of things I want to do that Jesus doesn't like. Can I be like the younger brother and try the things I want to do and then come back to Jesus later on instead?
Ooh, great question. There's so many layers to that. Following Jesus is hard. Yes, following Jesus is hard. But Jesus also says that his yoke is easy, his burden is light. As I say, it's hard, but it is the life we're created for. because it's the life in which we are actually set free. So yes, there are lots of things I want to do that Jesus doesn't like. Can I be like the younger brother and try things? I think the trouble is we think the younger brother is off in the distant country having a great time, and coming back to the father is going to be miserable. But now what he realizes is that back with the father, living for him, actually is the life he was created for. That's the life that is worth living. That's the life that's satisfying and good. That's the big thing, isn't it? And when you say, well, try the things I want to do and come back to Jesus later on instead. Well, friend, Jesus is calling us to come back now. The invitation to the party is going out today, now. And you remember one of the stories he told was of people who made excuses, said, I'm a bit busy at the moment. Now is the day to turn back to him, because actually it's in him we find the life that we long for and the love that we long for and all that's truly good and beautiful. And the way we have rejected him is to say, actually, we think we're better off without you. It's just not true. It's just not true.
Thanks, Mike. And just one other question. I'm a Christian, but recognize the elder brother spirit in me. What do I do?
Oh, yeah. And I think we all put our hands up to that. That's the tendency, isn't it? And what makes the Pharisees so kind of, think of what they're like. They're angry and they're judgmental and they're joyless. It's because they don't understand God's grace. They are in this sort of matrix of thinking, God is a boss and we do our work and he'll give us wages. And so they think, God owes me because, you know, I'm a good person. And actually seeing that I'm in the same boat as everyone else. And what God has done is give me a gift I don't deserve. That saves me from this anger towards him, that sense of it's so unfair. It's not unfair. I've got no rights before him. I've been given an eternity that I don't deserve, an eternity of blessings. It also stops me from being so judgmental towards others, looking down on them, or angry when I think, why are they being welcomed in? Stops me from being joyless and thinking, I've just got to do this stuff, hasn't I? Well, actually, my joy is to do this stuff with him. So I think getting a sight of the God who is a God of grace is the answer to our kind of our tendency to become like Pharisees and older brothers and to become all those things that people think religion is. People think religion is about being angry and judgmental and joyless and obeying rules that you hate. And that's exactly not the true religion that Jesus is revealing here. He's saying, come and be a child of the Father. I must pause there.
That's brilliant. Thanks so much, Mike.